Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands and MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
It's not Sal Licata, it's Pete Hoffman, and we will be joined a little bit in a few minutes by Manuel Babari and Chris McMonagle of WFAN, two huge Yankee fans as well, who are going to jump on and talk about this ridiculous Game 5, which gives the Los Angeles Dodgers the World Series. And the World Series, the Dodgers are the World Series champions for 2024, and it was just a disgusting display. A team that looked like they were handed a win. Aaron Judge comes alive. It feels that Cole is dominating, having perfect game type stuff. And then in the fifth inning, basically saying, enjoy celebrating on our turf, on our field. The Yankees didn't want it tonight. The Yankees were completely and utterly sloppy and disgusting on defense. I mean, there's no other way to say it. The return of Aaron Judge comes back in the fifth inning when Aaron Judge drops a fly ball. And from there, the rest of it was just history, man. Like, we've talked about this, and I've talked about this many times. The Yankees were never battle-tested. They just weren't. All season long, they threw the punches, they threw the haymakers, but when they got punched, they fell short. And today is another. They had plenty of opportunities to take this game, and they just kept on handing it back and handing it back to the Dodgers. If I'm a Yankee fan right now, I'm furious. I would have preferred to have been swept. Though this was more embarrassing. To lose a game in the way they did, the amount of errors they made in the fifth inning alone was outrageous. Catcher's interference, I mean, awful throws to the outfield, not being able to keep runners on base. I mean, it was just a poor display from the New York Yankees in Game 5. And listen, if you want to say, well, tip your cap, the Dodgers were the better team. The Dodgers not only beat the Yankees, but they beat the Mets. They beat New York. They beat all of New York. I'm sorry, but the Dodgers were not a better team today. They were not. They were not the better team. The New York Yankees were the better team. The New York Yankees had more significant at-bats and bigger home runs. The Dodgers did absolutely nothing but get outs. And the Yankees did Ugats defensively. Judge, again, like I said, couldn't catch a ball in the outfield, which started it. Volpe throws to third base, couldn't get, buries a ball to Chisholm, which allows bases to be loaded. And then to sum it up, and I heard a lot of people fight, oh, Anthony Rizzo, how dare you not go? And just all you had to do was run and beat out Mookie Betts at first base. That is fully on Gerrit Cole. The fact that Gerrit Cole didn't cover, I'm not sure what happened. I'm not sure why he fell asleep, but he was asleep on the mound, not running to first base. And guess what happened later in the game? A huge significant play, but a ball that gets hit to Freddie Freeman, Blake Treinen, a guy who is spent. All we heard about on this freaking broadcast was he's tired. His arm, I can't believe he's going to go out there for another inning. Dave Roberts put him out for another inning. But yet he covers first base on a ball that gets hit to the first baseman. It's amazing how that happens. The Yankees were asleep. This was always going to be a Dodgers World Series, but the Yankees decided not to show up, and that's a tough one. That's a tough one for all the Yankee fans out there. I'm sorry that you had to watch that. I mean, the excitement from being up 5-0 to being 5-5 in the fifth inning and just a utter embarrassment. And you want to sit there, and who do you want to pinpoint? Who do you want to put the blame game on? There's blame on everybody. I blame the whole entire team. There's not one person that gets a pass. I mean, no one did their job today. Tommy Cantley comes in and couldn't get an out. Couldn't get an out. And it was brutal. It was awful. And I'm frustrated. Watching that game, it boils me to see something so sloppy where it was in your hands. Judge, and let me tell you something. Judge finally showed up. Aaron Judge actually showed signs of life today. He's got that huge home run, which starts the back-to-back with him and Jazz. He makes an amazing catch in center field, and you're like, this is the Aaron Judge game. This is the Aaron Judge game. Aaron Judge showed up. And let me tell you something. All I thought about was if Aaron Judge gets hot now in game 5 and they go to L.A., I'm nervous. I'm nervous if I'm L.A. because the one thing you didn't want was for Aaron Judge to get hot, was for Aaron Judge to take over the series. Because you know who wasn't taking over the series? Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani did absolutely nothing in game 5. He showed up. The biggest thing that Shohei Ohtani did was he got that catcher's interference. But he was dead, man. Shohei Ohtani was struggling a lot. And whether it's the injury or whether he was just struggling in general, he was not present in this series. It was basically Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Kiki Hernandez. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, it basically was everybody on the Dodgers but Shohei Ohtani. And it's amazing, you know, the Yankees got the Flaherty early. They did everything they wanted to do in a game 5. It kept it from when you go to game 4 and Freddie Freeman hits a 2-run home run and basically shushes the crowd again. You're like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then Volpe changes the trajectory of the team, gets that grand slam, and basically takes off and makes this Yankee team relevant again and makes this back to an actual series and puts the Yankees in a good path. And it all got erased in the fifth inning in game 5. It's unbelievable. Now, we are going to be joined in a few minutes by Chris McMonagle, who is on his way. He does have a show tonight, 2 a.m. on WFAN, and Emmanuel Babari, who is actually at the field right now. He's just getting kind of set up in a spot to speak at. So we're going to be on for a little bit because I want to hear a reaction from other Yankee fans, from Yankee fans. I want to hear reaction from because I know how I felt watching that game. I had my kids in the house. I mean, my son basically asked if we could turn the game off in the fifth inning. My 7-year-old was like, can we not watch this? That's how bad it was. My 14-year-old sitting there praying that this game was gonna change, and it just didn't, and it got worse and worse. But speaking of Emmanuel Babari, he's finally gonna join us live from Yankee Stadium.
Pete, you got me?
You hear me, buddy?
I got you.
So you're live at the Bronx right in the Yankee Stadium right now in the Bronx. Dude, devastating loss, devastating way to lose the World Series. Give me the feel from the crowd in that fifth inning if tell me how it was. Give me your initial thoughts on this whole game five.
Well, you would say the feeling was stunning, and the way I kind of sum it up is it was a 7-6 game in the top of the ninth inning, but there was this inevitable vibe within Yankee Stadium, which was electric, by the way, at the start of the night. Rising to their feet for Aaron Judge. He responds with a 2-run home run and build it up to 5-0. You're feeling like, okay, get us to game six, get us to game seven. But the fact it felt so lost in that ninth inning is I feel like everybody here understood what was going on. The Yankee season was coming to an end the way so many painful, crushing losses have come to an end this year. It's a microcosm of their season. Fundamentally inept in a spot where you could not simply afford to be that. I think the Yankees just got outclassed by this Dodgers team, but they gave a Dodgers team that was better than them chance after chance after chance to run away here. And I would say shocked, but I don't think anybody in the stadium who's watched the team all year was completely shocked with the way that went down, which is remarkable to say.
No, it's embarrassing, I think, is a way to really describe that final this final game. We're also joined by Chris McConaughey, who's on his way to Thanksgiving. As we hear the Dodgers cheering in the back, Dodgers fans cheering in the background.
Yeah.
Chris, talk to me.
Thank you for having me, Pete. Thank you very much.
Give me the initial reaction, man, about this this game five. Talk to me, man.
What's my initial reaction? Can you hear me?
I got you, bro.
Yeah, my initial reaction. Well, I just heard Emmanuel, and I understand his point, but was I shocked that Gerrit Cole didn't cover first base? Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I understand they've been lousy defensively, and we talk about fundamentals. I mean, they didn't make the wrong play. They didn't throw to the wrong base. They didn't miss a cutoff man. They didn't, you know, they dropped an easy ball because he took his eyes off it, and I guess you could argue that's fundamentals. And Volpe didn't make a good throw when he made the right play to go to third base, and I guess you could call that fundamentals. And, you know, I can take getting beat. I can take grand slams. The walk-off grand slam doesn't bother you, you know? Like, it's the mistakes leading up to it. And this game is the epitome of not, you know, of mistakes just absolutely killing you. This is a game, like, and I even said it, like, in my house, I was telling my wife, even if they win this game, which you knew they were going to lose the second that inning happened, like there was no doubt in my mind the Yankees were losing that game. The inevitability Emmanuel was talking about set in for me very early on. But it felt like if you're going to do something like come from 3-0 down, they needed the momentum of last night's win along with, I don't want to say ass kicking, but the 5-0 dominant kind of play. Judge awakens. They completely shut them down. Cole shuts them down. You need the momentum of all of that leading in to Friday in Los Angeles, if you even had a chance. And to play like that, throw that inning away, awaken the Dodgers, it just felt like it was inevitable that they were going to lose the series, the game, my respect, everything. So it's just one of those things. It's just a brutal loss. Like you can deal with being beat, and they were beat, but the self-inflicted wounds to the level that took place in that inning is, I don't know if we've ever, I can't think of a humpback liner dropped by a center fielder who made a jumping, leaping catch at the wall 2 innings prior to make an incredible catch. A bad throw by a shortstop who, whether you believe him to be the gold glove caliber shortstop he is or has, you know, is honored with, made 2 great plays in yesterday's game, throws the ball away. And then Gerrit Cole, who is, for any, like, as intense and on top of things and on everything, to not cover first because he made the assumption that Rizzo would go to the bag is some of them. It's just, I'm struggling dealing with it. I'm about to go and do the most difficult show of my life in 2 hours from now. So
don't be so positive, Chris.
Yeah.
Let me ask Emmanuel real quick. Did you think that you see Judge hit the home run in the first inning? Did you see him make that play? Mark was talking about amazing catch. Did you think this was the Aaron Judge game? Did you feel like this was him taking over? And actually, if they win this game, him actually carrying the Yankees to a potential World Series?
Absolutely. How can you not get carried away in the moment? They're up 5-0. Aaron Judge, C-Mac, you put it perfectly. Like, the drop comes right after this miraculous play that there's a buildup of this game. Like, last night was Anthony Volpe game, essentially. Tonight was going to be the Aaron Judge game, and then you take this momentum. I know momentum can be overrated at times, but you take all this into L.A., and how could you not start to dream a little bit at 5-0? Because Gerrit Cole's cruising. You have Judge awakening, too. Like, he goes from a couple positive at-bats last night to a base hit late to a homer. We also see the double late in this game. Like, how could you not think go to L.A. with all this feel-good momentum, and then Judge could potentially lift you to 2 wins? Like, how is that out of the realm of possibility? And, yeah, the way it happened, I'm with you. The way it happened was shocking because they were just such unexplainable errors in that five-run inning. But I'm not shocked. So, like, the way this season has gone down, they deserve to lose this game. They deserve to lose this season in the way they did.
Yeah. No, and that's like, again, for me, yeah, the beginning of this game is going as well as it could possibly go. Cole looks good. He has an easy 1-2-3 first. Judge hits the home run that we've all been waiting for in the first inning, especially the first inning. So many times, like, of all his struggles, the main thing is how many times in the first inning he's had an opportunity to impact the game where, you know, Glaber and Soto have done such a good job getting on in front of him, not just this series, but the entire postseason, waiting for that first inning explosion. You get the home run. It's followed up with Chisholm. They tack on more runs with a base hit from Verdugo. They get another home run from Stanton. And it's going exactly as you wanted it to go. Like, it could not have been a better script. Judge awakens. They're tacking on runs. It's going to be an easy game. Maybe you could even stay away from a Weaver or a Holmes. Like, it's going to be the perfect game. And then, and again, I'm not trying to just, I'm not trying to get away from the idea that they've been a poor defensive and fundamental team all year. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we've seen poor fundamentals hurt them where, you know, on a sacrifice fly, you throw the third and allow the guy to get the second, or like you do dumb things. Like, they didn't do anything. I guess Cole is dumb, but like, Judge just drops the ball. Volpe just doesn't make a throw. Like, those aren't the wrong plays or lack of fundamentals. The moment just eluded them, and it's amazing to me. And I got to give Cole credit for coming back and continuing to pitch. I mean, I thought after he walked Muncy, you had to go get him. And then he pitches another inning and 2/3 from that moment on after getting Hernandez. Like, it's hard to take what's going on right now. But that is, I mean, the self-inflicted wounds at such a level on some of the easiest plays you could ever imagine. I mean, he got Mookie Betts out of all of it. He gets 2 strikeouts and a squibber. I mean, they're out of it. They're going, and you're about to say, wow, what a legacy game from Cole. He picks up his defense. He gets the big strikeouts. He gets Mookie Betts. And then he throws a fastball to Freddie Freeman with 2 strikes again. Why are we throwing fastballs to Freddie Freeman? Like, so much of it is so frustrating. It's unbelievable.
Question for you, both of you guys. Because the one thing we were talking about on BT and Sal today was, how do you define this team? How do you define the Yankees, and the conversation of the Yankees were a resilient team. They were battle tested. Tell me, am I wrong? I didn't feel that way at all. And it almost felt like, again, here's another opportunity where, when in the worst moments in the fifth inning, they could have found a way to come back, but they just aren't resilient. I mean, am I wrong with that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think they are resilient to a certain degree, where they don't get down on those situations and let things spiral. Like, that's the way I thought they were resilient all year, is they went through horrible stretches in this season where they found a way to dig themselves out. Think about game two, where they're lifeless and still put up a fight in the ninth inning. Like, I think that's the way they were resilient, but a lot of it was responding to their own self-inflicted wounds. Like, it wasn't punches that they took from the opposition, it was punches they took from themselves. So that's the way I define this team's resiliency, is they were very quick at, as Aaron Boone would say, turning the page. But you shouldn't have to respond as much as they had to their own problems and their own self-inflicted wounds. And I think that they forced themselves to be resilient a lot this year, when with their talent and the position they put themselves in, they shouldn't have had to be.
Yeah, over the course of the regular season, I don't think you would refer to them too much resilient. I know that they, like Emmanuel saying, they had to come back from poor play and everything. But, I mean, ultimately, their talent just won out. I wouldn't have called them resilient. I would have said that they showed some level of resiliency in the postseason because, like, you know, while not coming through with the bigger hits throughout the course of a game and still struggling with runners in scoring position, they did have moments against really good pitchers. Whatever you want to say about Cleveland, their bullpen was excellent. And they had big hits and big moments in the postseason where you felt like the team showed you a little something, even as they were beating teams everybody expected them to beat, and they should have beat. They had moments where I saw resiliency in the postseason. I thought they were resilient yesterday after falling down two runs. So I think they showed a little resiliency in this postseason, maybe, but I don't think there's any other way to look at this team right now as a flawed team whose flaws killed them in the end. I mean, that's really what the team is going to be known for, that it had a group of talent. The roster, the lineup wasn't complete enough, and they had a bunch of flaws that were the reason why they weren't better than they should have been and why they had the struggles they had all year long. And in the end, even up 5-0 in the fifth inning, the flaws eventually overtook them.
You know, it's too early to get into the offseason because we want to sit here and talk about the World Series and stuff like that. But, you know, let's be serious here. I mean, Boone's going to get a lot of blame for a lot of things about pulling Cole early in game one and maybe how he used some of the bullpen. And personally speaking, I think that I know Juan Soto is Juan Soto. You can't take him out of the lineup, but some of his defense has been an issue to me, personally speaking, where I think you need a defensive replacement in the later innings because he cost them runs. Well, he's not a good defender. But that being said, though, what do we see coming back next year? I mean, is Boone – is this it for Boone? Is he coming back?
There are a lot of – there are a lot of question marks right now as to who's going to be back next year. I wouldn't bank on there being a change with the manager, but we knew before this postseason, regardless if they got to the World Series or not, there was a lot in flux. Like, Aaron Boone has an option next year. He's not necessarily under contract. Anthony Rizzo's not under contract for next year. Labor Torres isn't under contract for next year. Alex Verdugo is under contract for next year. Clay Holmes is under contract for next year. Like, there are a lot of moving parts. Of course, Juan Soto isn't. This is going to be a drastically different-looking team come next season. I think we knew that from the jump. And had they lost a series in 7 games, but it was punching back and no self-inflicted wounds in game one and game five, and you're not asking all these what-ifs, maybe we would be saying, oh, wow, this team was constructed to beat the Dodgers and win a World Series. But the way this ended in 5 games, the way they lost, and the fact that the last game, the bitter pill to swallow, is going to be this in the worst possible scenario of the things we've talked about all year. Yeah, it's not the same as getting eliminated by Cleveland in the ALCS, but a lot of those questions are going to come up more so than if this was just a clean, competitive series and you tip your cap to the other side.
I believe that Chris is leaving us right now, so we'll say goodbye to Chris McMonagle. He's heading on to host 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on WFAN, so he's got a lot more to say over there, too. But Emmanuel, you just named a lot of different people that are going to turn over here, man, and it's going to be crazy. You look at this team, you evaluate, they were in the World Series. The Yankees were in the World Series. That's something that they had to do, and they got there. Was it a success? Not really, because they lost in five, and you know they basically handed over game five and all those other things. Do you look at this team and say, well, it's a no-brainer. We have to bring Juan Soto back, and that should be the main goal for the offseason, or is there a lot of other pieces you feel like you have to address before you even think about bringing Juan Soto back?
I think there are other pieces regardless. Now, will a Juan Soto contract, a hypothetical Juan Soto contract, stop them from making those other moves? Sure, you could say so, and maybe they look for internal options more so than external options if the Soto deal becomes so big where it hamstrings you in some capacity. But, yeah, I think you obviously need to address more than just right field. Like, you look around the diamond at some of the things that went wrong and also some of the contracts that are coming off the books. If they just said, all right, we're going to back up the truck for Juan Soto, which I think they will do and I think they need to do, does that automatically make you American League champions in the same position next year to compete for and win a World Series? I don't think so. I don't think you could just sign Juan Soto with all the other questions around the roster and the money coming off the books. You can just say, all right, we're good to go for next year. Now you hope some of these guys continue to develop. You hope that Jason Dominguez makes a bigger impact over a full season healthy next year. Like, there are other factors at play here and prospects coming through the system, but I think it's naive to think, okay, you can just re-sign Juan Soto. And I know that's going to be the first and biggest order of business in the offseason, but to do that and say they're automatically going to get back, I know the Yankees don't think that way. I don't think that way. I don't think any fan thinks that way. And watching the products throughout this World Series and the way they got here and the way it didn't cross them in the first two rounds, but it reared its ugly head in this World Series. I think a lot of people, wholesale change probably isn't the idea, but they're going to want to see something, a different look and a different feel to the way this team plays next year.
Emmanuel Babari is with us right now, and he is not in the bathroom. He's at Yankee Stadium just somewhere. Are you in the press area? Where are you at?
We are looking out. So we're right outside the press box, and we're looking out at the Dodgers celebration on the field. So I'm not sure if you got to look at it there, but that's why you're hearing all this background noise.
Yeah, no, I figured as much. I heard some. I knew it wasn't you celebrating.
No, not at all.
Emmanuel, you know, the one thing we could sit here and talk about all the disappointments. They lost in five. It wasn't a good run in the World Series itself. Can you take a positive? Can you tell me something from this season that you could look at and be like, it's tangible and say, well, at least we have this? Because, I mean, listen, I could sit there and say Aaron Judge up until game five was a no-show in the World Series, in the playoffs. Pretty much that, you know, Stanton's getting older, so is he really going to be able to keep up what he did in the playoffs in the regular season? Is he going to be viable? Is Juan Soto coming back? Look at all this stuff, but what are the positives you took away from this besides getting to the World Series?
Yeah, I think a lot of individual positives this year. Look at, I don't think we'll ever see a season back to back in the lineup. Two all-time players in their prime, staying healthy throughout the season, having career years at the same time in the same lineup that Aaron Judge and Juan Soto just did together. Like, think about how fortunate we were to watch that happen. Giancarlo Stanton, of course, was hurt for part of this year, but had a huge bounce-back season when you consider what we saw in 2023 and became the Yankees' best hitter, flat out, in the playoffs once again. So that's a positive to take away. Gleyber Torres, again, there'll be questions whether he's back next year. I know there's been an expectation he won't be for a while, just throughout the fan base, and the gut feel would tell you no. But the way he finished his season out of the leadoff spot was miraculous, and the Gleyber Torres that we were hoping to see all year and more consistently throughout his Yankee career, if it's all said and done. Now, we still saw the mental errors and the problems in the field and on defense and base running. But the way Gleyber Torres hit down the stretch was a major positive. Hopefully this postseason from Anthony Volpe, outside of the miscue tonight at shortstop, that was more like the Anthony Volpe we saw in April, and we expected to see more consistently offensively throughout the year, and maybe that's a springboard, considering he is a Gold Glove defender, to continue making leaps for the Yankees moving forward. I think about the rotation, for the most part. I know this wasn't the best series rotation-wise for the Yankees outside of Gerrit Cole, but Carlos Rodon and his terrific bounce-back season. The season Nestor had pre-injury. Clark Schmidt in between in between that injury and what the Yankees got out of Luis Gil and his revelation rookie season and the bullpen figuring it out down the stretch. So this isn't the time, of course, that people are going to want to focus on those positives, but I'm probably leaving out a few things. The Yankees had a ton of individual positive performances, but collectively as a team, they just shot themselves in the foot way too much.
And finally, I'll leave you on this, Emmanuel, and I appreciate the time again, Emmanuel.
Of course.
You can follow him. Give your social media handle, too, just so that everyone follows you.
On X, at Berbari on air, so B-E-R-B-A-R-I on air.
And he's been – Emmanuel did a great – by the way, just before we wrap things up and I get my final question, I just want to say that Emmanuel did an awesome job this year, doing play-by-play with the Yankees, filling in for John, doing a lot of different stuff, the pre-post stuff, a lot of great stuff by Emmanuel. So you did an awesome job. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and very nice of you to say. By the way, shout out to John Sterling, who throughout this postseason came back, and we were very fortunate to hear him as a soundtrack to this run where the Yankees won a pennant, even though they fell short in the World Series, and a remarkable career. So I just got a chance to see John on his way out of Yankee Stadium. I hope we hear from him in some capacity at some point as a bookend, and I'm surely going to go back and listen to the way he signed off on the air, but a legendary career. So I just wanted to shout that out as Justin and Susan are on the postgame show right now.
Yeah, I know that they did a great job as well. Good job by all the Yankees pieces for the puzzle. Takes a mountain. You guys did great. Finally, though, you know, the fan base, you were there. Give me the reaction from the fans at the end. Was it surreal? Was it disappointment? Was it boos? How did the Yankee fan feel at the end of that when the final out was made?
Well, I got to roam around a bit tonight because I didn't have any work obligations during the game. And roaming around, and I got to spend a little time with the bleacher preachers out there. There was a lot of anger just based on the fact that I think it was the range of emotion, right? Like, you're up 5-0 in this game. We were sensing LA. We were sensing the opportunity to make history. Even if the Yankees didn't come back and win this series in 7 and accomplish the impossible, no team down 3-0 in a World Series had ever even forced a game 6. So the Yankees were on track to do that, up 5-0 in this game. And the fact it turned like that and such a bitter ending, you have the Dodgers celebrating at Yankee Stadium and not in LA. That's always a much tougher pill to swallow. So I think there was a lot of anger, a lot of, even if people weren't irrational walking out of here, there was a lot of dejection too, and wonder of what did we just see. And that's why I say shock but not shocked is my takeaway here, because I'm shocked at the way this game turned so quickly. You felt you were going to LA. I think I got to go back and look at my tweet where I said we got a series here and now the series is over, and it turned so quickly. So that's shocking, but the way it happened and the miscues and the self-inflicted wounds, it's not shocking. Like, we've seen this all year with this Yankee team, and I always thought if there was going to be an ending to this season, as much as we wanted it to be a World Series title, it was going to be something like this. This was just times 10 the way it happened tonight.
I don't know if you saw this. I'm not letting you leave just yet. I don't know if you saw, but they were interviewing Dave Roberts when they were down 5-0, or maybe it was like 5-1 at this point. No, it was 5-0. And they were like, you know, how are you going to use the bullpen here? Are you going to try to keep it close? Like, what are you doing? Like, your bullpen was taxed from yesterday. And he basically said he was going to try to keep his high leverage guys out. You know, depending on how close this game is, if it's not close, he's going to try to not use his high leverage guys. I mean, so basically he was saying, we're going back to L.A. And the Yankees, from that point on, basically handed it back. That's got to be not just frustrating, but that's almost, if I'm a GM, if I'm an owner, I'm almost like, you got to find a way. There's someone's got to be held accountable for a complete and utter disgusting display.
Well, there was a reason why he said that. It was a spot in the game where I don't think anybody thought the Yankees were going to lose it, right? And you just had to find a way, regardless of what the Dodgers were going to do pitching-wise. Once you go up in the first inning the way you did, the back-to-back with Judge and Jazz, the Stanton home run, the fact you're riding high, 5-0 with Gerrit Cole on the mound, I understand that point about the Dodgers, and I even thought that yesterday with the bullpen game. That's why I wanted Game 3 so badly, because the bullpen game was looming in Game 4. But regardless of what your opponent is doing, you have to win that game. You have to. 5-0. I understand the way it happened, but even if it didn't happen that way, even if you had a Gerrit Cole meltdown, which didn't happen, if Gerrit Cole gave that up without any self-inflicted wounds, you have to find a way to win that game and get the series back to LA. And it's crushing. It's just crushing the way it happened. I have no other way to describe it. And that's why I think there was a mixture of anger and shock walking out for a lot of fans tonight, because they were firmly expecting to walk out of here feeling very good about themselves and dreaming a bit. And we were all dreaming mid-game, and now post-game we have to swallow not only this loss and the way it happened, but the way the season came to an end.
I hate to do this, but it did feel like the Yankees all season long relied upon three people, even though Gerrit Cole wasn't there for half the season. He was still an ace of the staff. It was Gerrit Cole, it was Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and crew. Jazz Chisholm came at the trade deadline. He's going to be around next year. He's got a contract, so he's good. Juan Soto, is he returning? Yes or no? Push comes to shove.
My gut all year, it doesn't change based on what I'm seeing now and the Dodgers celebrate in front of me. My gut has said yes all year. I think it's been a perfect marriage. It was a match made in heaven. He manned right field. I look back to April and those early April series where it was freezing cold here at the stadium. And the games, they still mean a lot, but they didn't mean as much. And just the way he endeared himself to the fan base and the Bleacher Creatures, I think he loves it here. I mean, the fans love him here. He took so well to this lineup. He had a career year in pinstripes. He's perfectly made for this ballpark. I think it would be a shame if the Yankees let that get away. And I understand free agency is unpredictable. We saw that even with a homegrown guy in Aaron Judge, you never thought in a million years could get away. So I'm not about to say it can't happen where he goes elsewhere. There's actually a great chance he goes elsewhere if somebody just blows you out of the water. But I think when it's truth-telling time and the Yankees collectively look themselves in the mirror, they will come competitive with the offer. And I think a competitive offer gets it done for Soto, and that's the way I felt all year.
And finally, Pete Alonso, will be playing first base for the Yankees next year?
It's funny. I haven't even had time to digest all these offseason moves yet because I'm still thinking about this loss. But that one sounds a little bit more outlandish. Could it happen? Sure. Pete Alonso. I don't know. I would need to process that one for a little bit. If there's no Soto, the Yankees do have multiple moves they're going to have to make to plug in. Maybe Pete Alonso is one of two or three top guys still left on the market. I could see his free agency. One thing I will say about Alonso, I could see him not being signed until January or February. I could see that being a long market. So the Yankees can focus on Soto and then figure out whether they want to steal crosstown in a different type of way later on in the offseason.
But even if the Yankees do get Soto, they still have a lot of room for it. No? We just talked about that, right? The team's going to look so different next year.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, there's a ton of money coming off the books. How do they fill the rest of the gaps? I just have a feeling if it's Soto getting this massive contract, I don't think they're doling out big money elsewhere. They'll make other moves of substance, but not. And I still think Alonso's making semi-big to really big money. I just don't think they would go in that direction if Soto isn't pinstriped, and that's what I would expect. I would expect we were looking up spring training 2025 and Juan Soto is still here. Maybe they get creative. Maybe there are other moves to be made that help shape the team around Judge and Soto and the existing fabric. But I do expect them to be back. But that is something I'm going to think a lot more about next week than when I wake up tomorrow.
Well, listen, Emmanuel, get some sleep. I appreciate it, man. You're the man. Thank you so much for hopping on. And again, great work all year. And again, you'll be on the air again. We'll hear you on air doing a bunch of different things. So we'll talk to you in the future. All right, man?
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me. Thanks as always, man. Appreciate you.
Later, Emmanuel. Listen, Emmanuel Babari, everybody. And again, thank you so much for listening. Again, Chris McMonagle was also on a little earlier as well. You could hear him at 2:00 on WFAN, 2 to 5 a.m., as he's going to sit there all morning and weep for 2 hours doing a little post-mortem of the New York Yankees. And Emmanuel Babari, of course, as always, just does his thing with the Yankees and us, WFN, as well. But last thing for me here, again, I'm just sitting here watching that game in frustration. And if you're a Yankee fan, that's how I would feel. I'd be pissed watching such a sloppy play from sloppy players. And the one note that I want to say, there was a lot of blame all season long on specific players. You saw a lot of blame go to Gleyber Torres. You saw a lot of blame going to Giancarlo Stanton. Okay? All season long. Stanton's never healthy. He can't do this. Torres is overrated. He's been slumping all season long. Listen, they put him in the one hole. All of a sudden, they start hitting. The reality is that fifth inning is who the Yankees were all season long from everybody. People not hustling. People making boneheaded moves. Emmanuel nailed it. That's kind of a microcosm of what this team was. So we deflect and make it about a couple players that we want to bully up on. But the entire team has played like that. The entire team has played really poor baseball and baseball that you should be able to bounce back from, but they don't want to. They don't have that fight. They didn't have it all season long. And again, you go through the KC, and I hate to be that guy, but the KC series was an easy series. The Cleveland series was an easy series. Yes, they beat up on the best closer in baseball. I won't knock you there. Manuel Class A, best closer in baseball, and the Yankees destroyed him. But it wasn't like they had to sit there and come down, you know, being down 2-0 in a series or being down 3-0 in a series. We saw what happens when they were down 3-0 in a series. They came back to win one game. Thankfully, Volpe hit a grand slam yesterday. It kind of blew the game out a little bit. It's close, but they ended up coming, you know, blowing out later on to win 11-6, 11-4, excuse me. And then game five, they have an easy opportunity. They're up 5-0, and they simply don't want it and didn't want it enough. Yes, they're talented, but the want to is not there for this New York Yankee team. I don't know what that means for the manager. Brian Cashman, I would not push him out the door again because I still think that Brian Cashman, at the end of the day, is the best GM in baseball. And that's coming from somebody who loves David Stearns. Brian Cashman is still the best GM in baseball. Think about what he did this offseason. He got you Juan Soto. Everyone said, get Juan Soto. He got you Juan Soto. Everyone said, you know, it'll be really cool. Get Jazz Chisholm. They got you Jazz Chisholm. They got you. Every time you want something, they get it for you. Brian Cashman gets it for you. Now it's up to them to play. And right now, in the biggest moments, they came up small. That'll do it for me. Again, Pete Hoffman with you. You can always follow me at HoffWFAN. Again, thank you to Chris McMonagle, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. right now, today. Go check that out on WFAN. Emmanuel Barbari is also going to be hosting in the future, and you just follow him online, and you'll see his schedule coming up rather soon. He does a lot of games and stuff like that, so you'll hear him around. Thank the both of them for joining us. And the Yankee fans, you got there. That was what you needed. That's what the Yankees needed to do. So they accomplished that goal. Were you happy, though? That's what I want to know. Was this satisfying to you? Losing in five the way they did? I almost would have preferred getting swept. That's how I would have felt. But you got back there. And with New York deserved better. I am in the rarity or the rare person that wanted to see a New York championship, a New York World Series. I wanted to guarantee a parade, and that didn't happen this year, and that's upsetting. Hopefully both teams come back, but that's a wrap on the baseball season. Baseball season's done. The offseason's around the corner, and Juan Soto, let's go. $700 million man, get ready. $700 million man who can't play defense. So that's going to be fun. Again, Pete Hoff with you at Hoff WFAN. I'll be back with BT and Licata, BT and Sal tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on WFAN. Always follow me. I'll be on hosting midnight to 5 Saturday morning, and I'll do a bunch of other stuff too. You'll also hear me on the Rico Bronya and all that stuff. So thank you again for watching. I'm sorry, Yankee fans, that sucked. But hey, there's always next year. All right? See you guys later. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.